Hello, true believers, and welcome to Dexcelsior, a podcast about Marvel Champions the Card Game, which is a living card game by Fantasy Flight Games. I am your host, I'm Sam, and today I'm joined by cool crew. We'll get to that. I'll explain the joke later. First, we have Matt. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Sam. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. And there's Carlos. Hi, Carlos.
Hello.
And Ben, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing pretty good.
That's good. Well, tonight we are going to be talking about the newest hero, or one of the two of the newest hero. We're going to be talking about Hawkeye. And we're going to be reviewing his cards in that came in the Rise of Red Skull expansion. But before we do that, we have a Marvel Musing with Matt, the part of the show where Matt gives us some Marvel trivia. What have you got for us, Matt?
Well, this one's going to be kind of a twofer today, I guess. It's Hawkeye, so I'm going to give us some Hawkeye. So back in his original series, Hawkeye, where Crossfire is fighting Hawkeye and Mockingbird, they get captured. And here's the first little bit of trivia. They get captured by the Death Throes. That sounds like a cool name, but it's basically there's a guy whose whole gimmick as a supervillain was juggling.
Yes.
But he had the bright idea not just to go, he made a whole team of villains whose gimmick is juggling.
What? Oh, what?
Yes, he found three other people who also can juggle as their superpower. So they capture Hawkeye and Mockingbird and bring him to Crossfire. And Crossfire basically has the machine from Kingsman where it makes everyone fight each other. And he does it, and then it's like, okay, he stops it so they can realize they've been fighting each other and despair. And in that time, Hawkeye takes a sonic arrow, puts it in his mouth, and activates it to disrupt the defects. Of course, this also blows out his eardrums, and he's now deaf. He was deaf for the next about 20 years after that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was completely deaf and used sign language. Well, he could read lips as well. And then he died, and like a lot of heroes, and got in Heroes Reborn, came back. And since Franklin didn't know he was deaf, he came back with his ears back. Until in 2012, when the Matt Fraction run, he gets deafened again. Hmm. And he's been deaf ever since now.
Wow, so is he cursed to be deaf for all eternity?
He couldn't handle the power of the E.
I mean, the E was the way to beat Crossfire.
That's pretty hardcore, though.
Yeah. But yeah, so we have him being deaf and the Death Throes who exist.
That's funny. The whole my superpower is juggling. How does he use that? How does he fight with that? Just juggling? How
he juggles like these special balls that have properties or something. I mean, like at least a bow, you can shoot it at range and it'll go fast. Like he just juggles it. You could hold them in a bag.
Yeah, but that's not flashy. So he's just flexing on all the other villains.
There was one thing. The Death Throes each juggle something different. One juggles bowling pins. I can't remember the other. And then the last one juggles exploding balls instead. Whoa. Which is apparently different somehow.
Yep. Yeah. It's a shape, obviously. Different enough. It's easier. I don't juggle, so I might just be pulling this out of somewhere. But maybe it's easier to juggle pins than balls. I have no idea. I don't juggle. Okay, that was fun. Thank you, Matt. And we want to give a thank you to all of our patrons. Go to patreon.com/dexcelsior to check out how to become a patron and look over our reward tiers. You can get a shout out, get access to polls and surveys, and even be a guest in a gameplay video. All proceeds go back into the podcast and the community. Your generosity is what makes you the true heroes of the podcast. And now we want to give a special thanks to Chris C., who recently upped their patron. So thank you, Chris. And now,
on to his game. I think that's how you up your game. It's not building better decks, is being a better patron. All our patrons are great patrons. and everybody, and you up your deck, your game by playing more Marvel's Game.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to make a joke.
Yep.
Okay.
And they get out.
So that's the kind of night this is going to be. This is fantastic. All right, on to the Daily Bugle newsroom with Ben. Ben, what has happened in the news recently?
Well, we got a Wasp article, which showed some more cards in her pack, and we did a hot takes about that one.
Those hot takes should be out by the time this episode is out. So yeah. If you haven't listened already, go back and listen to those.
Yeah, so there's some really cool cards in there. Also, Red Skull, Rise of Red Skull is out, and we've been playing it. At least I've been playing it a bunch. I don't know about the rest of y'all.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I know Carlos has been playing it a bunch because we played the campaign together.
Yeah.
I haven't touched a single core set villain since the box came out, so.
Oh, man, I have. But, yeah. I've just been playing a lot of Marvel recently. So that's really cool. And also, to celebrate that, as of this recording, we have not yet done our Iron Man stream, but by the time this is released, we should have done our Iron Man stream of us playing through the entire campaign live. And we'll have a recording of that on YouTube.
Is any of us actually playing Iron Man? Or?
No.
No.
I mean, you're playing Iron Man Ally, right?
I am. There, that's there it. It's solved.
That's our Iron Man campaign.
Right.
Oh, man. I don't know what we should name it. But yeah, so we're just going to play everything in one sitting, and oh my gosh. And also, we're going to do our Grandmaster game, which is going to be a 4-player game versus Matt as Red Skull. He's good at picking counter cards. We kind of did something similar before. Were we playing Ultron?
No, it was Claw.
No, it was Mutagen.
No, I'm pretty sure it was Claw.
No, it was Mutagen. It was definitely Mutagen. We played Mutagen
for it was Mutagen, you're right.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because we were trying to figure out how to do the extra encounter cards thing when he dealt them out to us.
We're also trying to figure out how to do Thor.
Yeah.
That was an issue.
Although instead of Red Skull, we could do like maybe Zola instead, because I've heard Zola is actually a bit better.
I found Zola to be harder.
I mean, it's not about hard. It's about what I guess me playing as the villain will make it better.
Yeah, it's not like you can choose the side scheme. Ooh, you could choose the side scheme.
Oh, that would be fun, actually.
We'll
talk about that. We'll figure that out.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that. But yeah, all this is part of the Hydra Rising event, which a bunch of content creators in the community are doing. I know there are other people doing videos and articles. I listened to the Critical Encounters Hydra Patrol review today, which is really good. And I recommend everyone do that. And then I know Marvel Champions Monthly is doing that. Oh, yeah. Kennedy Hawk is recording a bunch of him playing through the campaign with Spartacus, which is another community member, and putting that on the Marvel Champions Monthly podcast under Salt Strike. So check that out. Those are really good podcasts.
And there's also a crossover campaign that's I've teamed up with Kennedy, LSR from Holocards, and Apo from Card Text. And we're doing a campaign series through the HZF where we're all of us together, and we're going to have it rotating on our YouTube channels as if it was a comic book crossover.
That's exciting.
Yeah, we've already, we're not sure exactly when it's going to be released because we want to have a good lead time on it so you're not waiting weeks for the to be finished. But we finished the first one and we lost against Absorbing Man, so we'll be redoing that one.
Really? Absorbing Man? Did you lose to damage or threat?
Threat.
Okay. Well, I can't really say much. I played him on expert for the first time this week, so.
I played Absorbing Man two or three times.
He didn't like destroy me, but he set me back. So like it took, because without spoilers, the number of rounds it took me to beat him was way more than I wanted it to be. And so I'm gonna look forward to Red Skull.
Speaking of which, do you want to go into the gameplay corner?
Yeah, I didn't know if you had anything else to say for the news, but
I don't know.
I don't think there is for the gameplay corner. Carlos, what have you been playing recently?
I've been playing with Hawkeye. Today, for the second time during COVID, I touched physical cards. Rise of Red Skull came in. I organized everything, and after that, built a Hawkeye aggression deck and took it against Crossbell. Lost the first time, won the first time, only to remember that I had not shuffled in the standard, expert, or my obligation. Which means that I still have not beaten Crossbone with aggression Hawkeye. I got some thoughts about Hawkeye, but I'm gonna leave them for later. Oh, and I also did a campaign with Ben, and that was amazing. I really liked the campaign.
Yeah, you were playing Spider Woman, and I was playing.
Spider Woman was amazing. It's great.
Who was playing? Was it Black Widow or? No, I don't remember. Was it Ms. Marvel? I think it was Ms. Marvel, right?
Who knows? You were playing Marvel.
Justice. Yes. That deck was super fun. Yeah.
Have you been playing anything else besides that campaign, Ben?
Oh, I've been playing a ton. I did a solo campaign with Captain Marvel Justice and stomped it because that's really good in solo. Though I did make a couple rules errors. I had a reward card too early, and without saying any spoilers, I didn't realize there were double side cards. So. Spoiler warning, there are some double-sided cards in the box. They are double-sided. Make sure you get the correct side.
Yeah, I was watching Team Covenant stream. They started their campaign, and they were so confused on that.
So that made it a bit easier than it should have been. So that victory comes with an asterisk. Although there was another reward that I completely forgot about and didn't use ever. Let's see. So I've been playing a bunch of that. I had a really good game. I was playing Justice Black Widow and someone else was playing Aggression Spider-Man. And we were playing against Zola with, Doomsday Chair? And we just completely destroyed Zola. Like, he was confused and stunned, like, every turn or something. Like, not every turn, but basically, Spider-Man and Black Widow can team up to make the villain basically be unable to do anything.
Yeah.
No, it was... Nope, yep, that was right. Wait, no. I'm playing two different games. The game we were playing against Doomsday Chair, I was actually playing with Thor... Or someone was playing with Thor. I was Captain Marvel, I think.
So you really have been playing a lot of Marvel.
I've been playing a ton. I'm mixing up my Zola games.
Yeah.
That Thor game was hilarious, though.
Yeah, well, Matt, what have you been playing?
Me? I have been, we've been doing the crossover campaign. I played a game with Ben the other day, and then I finished Luigi's Mansion 3, so I moved back onto Mario Odyssey. Nice. But mainly I've been playing Spider-Woman, and she is incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I remember it was like, oh, this new set, and then I thought about it. It's like, oh, I don't know, this might not be great. And playing her, it's not nearly as I feared. Suggestion from Sam, I played the Project Tahiti deck where I Coulson and Rapid Response, and then when Coulson dies. He comes back from Rapid Response. Rapid Response is in the discard, so bring it to hand, and then next turn I play it again and keep repeating.
It's so good. So good.
Yeah.
I didn't think that would be as nearly as good as I thought when I just said it.
Oh, no. It turns out the 2/4 and a block for two cost upgrade every turn is really, really good.
Especially when that two cost upgrade boosts your stats.
Yeah. And then my other deck, like, I'm going to be cycling through all sorts of different decks with her. And then I've got a Counterpunch deck. Yeah. Basically, because you play Counterpunch, it increases your attack by one and your defense for that defense. So it gets really, really powerful. And swinging in for like 4 damage for a single card.
Yeah, I started a Captain America's Leadership Solo Expert campaign in a deck where I don't even run Make the Call because I'm using big allies, team training, and they literally just sit there and play using their stats, and it's so good. Like, it's a slow build, and then once you're built, you're set, and then you basically just steamroll the villain. I don't even use Avengers Assemble. I use Lead from the Front instead. I think it's just a better card for that deck.
Mm.
But I also been playing Spider-Woman, and for the first time since it came out, I played Morale Boost. Because with Spider-Woman, it's really +2/+2. And it was okay. I mean, it wasn't great, but it was okay. Other than that, I did a campaign with my dad. We have to finish. We're on Red Skull now. I'm playing Hawkeye and he's playing Doctor Strange. And then I did a solo campaign. I did the Spider-Woman precon through the standard campaign. And she pretty handled everything pretty easily. Taskmaster gave her a little trouble, but I felt like everything else had a pretty good handle on it, except for Zola. But like, I just burst rushed through Zola.
Cool.
But before we get on to our main topic, we have to give away the Ant-Man and the Wasp packs. Now that they've been spoiled, we're going to do the drawing tonight. And if you're listening and you were one of the people that was drawn, we're also going to do it on our Discord. We're going to announce them too. So if you don't listen to the episode just yet, don't worry. Message Ben all your information, like shipping information, everything, and we will get a copy sent from FFG to you. So, Ben, would you like to do the drawing for each Ant-Man and Wasp?
Okay, so we have Ant-Man, and I believe everyone guessed correctly on his nemesis. So we have 11 entries. I'm going to do a random number between 1 and 11.
No, he had 2 people guessed wrong, so it's 1 and
3. Oh, Ant-Man?
Yeah, no one guessed.
So that's right.
2 people guessed wrong for Ant-Man. Nobody guessed right for Wasp. So everyone is going to get a chance for Wasp because no one guessed right. And then everyone who got it right for Ant-Man is going to get a chance.
Got it right, buddy. That's what I was. Okay, so I'm going to generate number 219. Generate number 3. So we'll go down to the 3rd correct answer. This is thrilling. Audio right here. 1, 2.
Next, we'll talk about art.
3. Yeah, I know, right? Okay, it looks like the winner for Ant-Man's pack is Joel B. So I will. Congratulations, Joel. I'll send you a message and get in contact with you.
Yep, that's Feelyat on the Discord.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. So, and then Wasp, nobody got it right. So I'm just going to do a random number between 1 and 11. Number 9. Oh boy. Okay. So, according to my math, that is. Oh boy. I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher this name. George? S-J-O-E-R-D? I'm sorry. Yeah, I apologize for butchering the name. But on the bright side, you're going to get a free wasp back. So I'm going to set this up so that I'm going to order it from FFG. So yeah. Hopefully.
So they will come straight to you.
Yeah.
That way you get it as closer to release date than us just picking it up on release date and mailing it out.
Yeah, it'll be pretty fast and easy. So I'll get in contact with you and yeah. So yeah, congratulations on winners. The contest is really fun, and we are gonna have more contests with Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, right?
Yeah, they are
reveal.
We already have the results for that, but we don't have the drawing yet. And then we're going to try and continue it with the Guardians wave. Also, sorry if we seem like we're rushing a little bit. There is a lot of new cards in the Hawkeye deck. I believe, 20 new cards to go through? So, speaking of which, let's finally move on to Hawkeye.
Okay.
Just one thing. This time we did get the likes for the pictures, and I have them in front of me.
Oh my goodness. Okay, good.
Totally forgot about that. So thank you, Matt.
Yeah.
All right. We got one sad face among his 10 hero cards. 11 hero cards. And then we have 7 among the leadership cards.
So is it cards with sad faces or cards with more sad faces? Yeah, with sad faces. Okay. All right. So I'm going to hit it off.
And then there was also one wow among all the cards.
All right.
I'll let you guys figure that out.
All right. I'm going to hit it off with Clint Barton driving his very nice car. Clint Barton is an alter ego with 3 recover, a hand size of 6, and 9 hit points with a shield trait. So he's kind of squishy. With a weapon of choice, spend 1 resource of any type, search your deck and discard pile for Hawkeye's bow and add it to your hand, shuffle your deck, limit once per phase. So you're basically just trading a card in your hand for your bow.
Or if you have like Quinn Carrier out, you could use that, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically.
So I know like... So far, all the heroes that have searched up something have done it at no cost. You know, Thor just searches up his hammer. Captain America can just automatically at the start searches for a shield. And Black Panther automatically searches for an upgrade. So now it's asking you to pay for it. Do you think that's because he is buying a new bow? And it's not really unique? It's not really a unique item?
Zero?
Because the bow's free.
I think that's why. I also think...
Thor's hammer's also... Like, it's an iconic thing for it to come back, and he also only has 5 hand size.
Right. And also, Thor can play around with discarding his thing. I mean, I guess that's not really a thing for Black Panther or Cap.
So it's also zero cost compared to Mjolnir's one. Right.
I think that's the main reason, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, because if it cost 1 and you just searched it up, it would be the same as the hammer.
Yeah, but
It would be the same cost.
Right. I think they don't want you to do the tricks of spending it then getting it back.
Right.
They just want you to have it in play.
And
if it gets discarded, they want you to be able to get it back easily.
I'm just glad that it is a resource of any type and not a specific kind, because that would make him way too limited.
Yeah, that would be dumb. But
it's basically trade a card in your hand at the start of the game for your bow, so you always have it. And this way, if you have draw your bow in your hand, you don't need to mulligan it because it's already there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, pretty standard. Not much else to say. So, Carlos, do you want to read Hawkeye?
Oh, wait. How many do you think this got the sad face for his signature cards, or do you think it might have been the wow?
I think he got the sad face.
Oh, sad face? Carlos Ben?
I think he got a sad face.
I'm going to say right. No.
Okay. The answer is he got 4 sad faces. The only one in the Hawkeye's cards.
Was there any comment to why?
Let me go check quickly.
I mean, I think my guess is just because it's because it says spend a resource.
Yeah, no comments.
And I guess maybe the people just don't like that.
It's decent enough as far as stats go, but it's
nothing special.
It's not really exciting.
Yeah. So let's move on to Hawkeye.
Yeah, reading Hawkeye, Carlos.
So Hawkeye is 1 thwart, 2 attack, 1 defense, hero, an Avenger. That's quick draw, action, exhaust Hawkeye, ready Hawkeye's bow. I might not be the mightiest Avenger, but I'm definitely the coolest.
There, now you found out why I said cool cast.
Oh, I get it. I mean,
terrible.
This is just a bad hero card.
I
always go back to this, but this is the exact contrary to a hero card like Captain Marvel, where it's like she opens up the game. He only reacts to his own game plan and his 15 cards.
Here's why I think Hawkeye's. So first of all, I think Hawkeye aggression is a more efficient deck than Thor aggression. I just think it is, and when it comes to killing enemies. But him with his bow, he's able to have 3 attack with a 5 hand size. That automatically, I think, just puts him above a lot of those 3 attack heroes, because he can have the extra card hand size. And his stats aren't great, but he's specialized in that attacking. If you don't have a second arrow event, but if you have 2 arrow events and you want to play them, you don't need his stats. It's like Miss Marvel with hers.
Yeah, this is where my comment, though, because the obvious comparison to me is Doctor Strange, because he can use his medications, and I can either play the electric arrow with the exact same printed cost as the invocation, but you got to play it from hand,
or from equipment,
and it does 4 more damage in addition to that stun.
Well,
I think the difference is Hawkeye's the more balanced version of Doctor Strange.
Yeah, no, yeah. I guess that's just why I don't like Doctor Strange. It feels kind of balanced. Like, it fits the game plan. I think the arrows could be a bit more pushed, but it's Hawkeye. It's what he shoots arrows.
It's all he does. Yeah. And that attack is so nice, too. Yeah. You'll never be sad to have 3 attack if you don't have a second arrow.
Yeah, I would usually rather use the attack than play a second arrow.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Most of the time.
That's really nice.
One thing, Hawkeye is like one of the most squishy heroes in the game, because he's got 1 defense, 9 hit points, and only 3 recover.
And only 1 card in his deck actually helps counteract that, and it costs 3. And then you have to spend a resource to use it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. But, I feel like he's, one of the most focused heroes. He's focused on dealing damage, and he's very good at that, but he's not very good at anything else.
I feel like he's the best damage dealer we have so far.
Probably if you're trying to optimize for pure damage,
I built a Hawkeye aggression deck for Zola when I was playing Zola with my dad, and he just, every time something came out on the board, he just nuked it. Hawkeye is so good at what he does that I don't feel bad that he can't really do much else.
Sure.
Yeah, someone described it, he's a glass cannon. He cannot take a hit, but he can dish it out. And he's the first real glass cannon we've had, I think.
I just think that's something you have to keep in mind, either when you're building your deck or when you're deciding, who you want to play with.
Yeah.
If you play Hawkeye and Thor together somehow, I could do very much Thoring.
He's definitely one of those heroes that you bring him to a multiplayer game. You're calling on for the defenders or for allies to block for you, but he's putting in so much work.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. You need to have a plan to deal with how squishy he is, whether it's in your deck or someone else's deck.
But we should move on to the bow.
First, how many likes do you guys think Hawkeye got?
Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting about that. All. I mean, we already went through the one that had the sad face, right? So the rest of them have likes. Just one of them has a wow.
Yeah. 12 likes and 2 hearts.
12 likes, okay.
All right.
Moving on to the bow, Matt, do you want to read it?
Sure thing. We got Hawkeye's bow. It's a zero-crossed upgrade with the weapon trait. Trait. It has the restricted keyword, which means you can only have 2 of them in play. And your hero gets +1 attack, and each of your arrow attacks gains ranged, which means they ignore retaliation. It's a new keyword from this box. It has a wild resource.
It's just good.
The range thing is really relevant against a lot of the Red Skull villains.
Yeah.
I will say that. It's very good in this box.
If you include the experimental weapon set in any villain, like the range automatically gets better. Like you have in Claw, he has his ranged, like Under Attack has the retaliate one. +1 attack for a 0 cost card.
And restricted, like there's Yarnbjorn, I think, right now.
Yeah, that's the only non-hero specific restricted card. So restricted doesn't mean anything yet.
So like you have this, maybe you have Yarnbjorn out, but like doesn't really matter because then you're fine. Yeah. But like a 0 cost card for a +1 attack is not something to go overlooked, which is I think one of the reasons I like Hawkeye so much more than like Thor, for example, is just that zero. It's one cheaper for +1 attack.
It's also good for like upgrade his like caught off guard.
Yes. You
discard this, switch to alter ego. Hey, I'll get the bow back for no actual cost and play it for 0.
And his obligation, you can discard your bow instead of exhausting and then just get right back because
you flip to alter ego and it's like, okay, discard one card. That's
And we
right. Do I want to exhaust or do I want to discard one card? And that's the choice you get to make.
Also mention that the reason why so Hawkeye's ability exhaust Hawkeye to ready the bow is because all the arrow events exhaust the bow. And then obviously, I don't know, if you mean swing or something, but if you mean swing, then Hawkeye's already exhausted. So that's kind of not a good example. But yeah, I mean, it's also another target for mean swing if you don't have an arrow or if you don't have a second. If you don't have
one arrow.
You know?
Because if you use it, then you can't. But yeah, I've tried it out. Mean swing's okay, and you do plenty of just reliable damage, and like you can't always get your arrow, so it's nice to just have that backup.
Mean swing with my bow makes me sad.
And you know,
that's just me though.
The range isn't nothing. Yeah. But we should probably move on to the next card, which is
how many hearts do you guys think?
10.
3 hearts.
Ben got it right. 10 likes with 4 hearts.
Wow. Okay. So 2 more hearts, but 2 less likes than the last one.
Yeah. No, the 14 is the most any of them.
Okay.
Not total.
Yeah. And Ben, would you like to read possibly my favorite card in this set? Yes. Hawkeye's Quiver.
Oh, yes, I would. Hawkeye's Quiver is a 1 cost upgrade. It is item traded. You may play arrow events attached to this card as if they were in your hand. And has a hero action, exhaust Hawkeye's Quiver, to search the top 5 cards of your deck for an arrow event and attach it face up to this card. And it has a mental resource, but you don't care because you're going to play it all the time.
Fun fact. Yes. I've whipped twice in a row with this card.
Sheesh.
Oh, God.
Also, fun fact, this is a hero action, which is really friggin' good.
Yeah, but okay. First of all, that art. How does he? So he's pulling an arrow out of his quiver. How does he know what kind of arrow it is?
He has put them all like specifically placed.
I mean, did you see Avengers? He shot without even looking at Chitauri. I think he can grab an arrow out of his backpack.
Yeah, but in the Avengers, he had a quiver that
carefully, so he knows what he's going
to
pull.
Yeah, but in the Avengers, he had a button on his bow that shifted the quiver to put a different tip on the arrow and stuff. This is just a leather sack on his back.
Oh, well, I mean, no, you just remember where it looks like a 3x5 quiver. I can remember that.
He just accidentally forgets, which he accidentally just grabs the wrong one because he reaches a little too far. And instead of stunning someone, he just blows them up.
Yeah,
it's dangerous. That's
anyway. A freaking superhero archer. He should know, he knows which arrows.
So mechanically, I think a big thing is you don't shuffle your deck after you look at the top five cards, which means you'll know what is coming next. It's very good for a Hulk deck, which I'm sure Sam appreciates.
I do.
Or if you're deciding whether you want to use Avengers Mansion yourself or someone else.
Yeah, I feel like this is one card that's like, yeah, especially in like multiplayer. If you have Avengers Mansion out, you use this first. You use this before everybody else's turn goes, and then you're just like, okay.
You're just using it.
Yeah, and like, again, that Hulk thing, you can tell, look at, you can be like, all right, before I swing with Hulk, let me look at the top five. Oh, that's a mental? I'm going to keep Hulk up. And that's just a Hulk saver, and I love that. It makes all your arrows technically cost one less.
And, yeah, because you're playing them from here and not from your hand.
Right, and then you can put an arrow on there, like some specialty arrow on there, because, I mean, they're pretty much all specialty arrows.
Put an explosive arrow on there and wait until someone gets swarmed with minions.
Right, or, like, put the cable arrow on there.
Wait for a tough minion to pop up or something.
Right, it really is just like, oh, what do I need at this moment? And it makes him, this is also one of the cards that makes him super efficient, because it's like, what do I need at this moment? I have a plethora of arrows in front of me.
Yeah, just drawing it is already good, but being able to store them is gravy on top of that.
But there's not much else to say about this card, because it's good.
So Tommy likes it again.
Oh.
13 and 1, wow.
We got 10 likes and 4 hearts. Like the bow.
Alright.
This is the most wowest card.
And
it was one wow out of the entire pack.
Can I talk about art for a second?
Sure.
When I'm searching for Hawkeye's bow, I always think the quiver is his bow and not his actual bow.
Yeah, I don't get too much, but the bow isn't as prominent, I think, as it could have been.
No,
that's what happens with me with shield blocking Captain America. I always think the shield block is the shield and not the shield.
That too.
Because like they always make the stuff in the weapons and the art, except for the hammer, so small. Like the hammer is literally just the hammer, and everything else, like the bow is so tiny. And you got some, what are those at the top? The Electra swords.
Cause
I don't know what they're called. But moving on to the next card, we have Blocking Bird, a 3-cost ally, unique Bobby Morse Mockingbird, with a wild resource, an Avenger Shield traded, with 2 thwart, 2 attack, and 3 hit points, each has a consequential. With an interrupt, when the villain initiates an attack against you, spend a resource of any type and return Mockingbird to your hand. Prevent all damage from this attack. First of all, it's good because, you know, he's squishy. But there's reasons why this kind of frustrates me is it doesn't stop the boost effects. And like, I always feel like when I use this, I get the one boost effect from the Flame Soldier. It's like, if this attack is undefended, discard a support you control. And I'm like, God damn it, Mockingbird. Yeah, stop me from saving. Damn, I should have just blocked with you. Like, and then it's like a 3 resource sink every time you want to play her, and that's kind of expensive. And then also stops me from playing Mockingbird ally. But you know, she's good.
She's good. Yeah.
I mean, like, 2 thwart, 2 attacks, pretty good.
Yes, it is very good. It's pretty good. She's pretty good as an ally, just as a body, if you ignore her ability. Her ability is very useful.
I wish it was just, like... I wish it really was just, like, return her to her hand and not spend a resource, because then it becomes a 4 resource, or a 5-card sink to put her back into play. by using her ability.
That's essentially free to pull her back. And then you can decide whether you want to play her or not.
Right, but if I'm not going to play her, I'm just going to block with her.
I mean, unless the villain has overkill.
How many villains have overkill right now? One? And then
there's
the Ronin set.
It's good against Ronin. Yeah. But yeah, I'm just saying. Or if, like, you know, the concussive blast would kill her, that boost.
This also, technically, you can still use stuff like counterattack and preemptive strike if they draw, like, a three boost. Because it's technically just preventing the damage from the attack.
Why would you... Counterattack doesn't do anything.
Not counterattack. Attack acrobatics.
Oh, attack acrobatics.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yes.
Sorry.
You can do it just to do damage. Yep.
Yeah.
That is
true. I like how the sunset and the art really contrast against the color. It really looks eye-catching.
She looks awesome. She's got great art.
Yeah, definitely better than the
basic Mockingbird.
Better than the basic ally art.
Yeah.
But
so how many likes do you think she got?
10.
13.
Correct answer is 8, because she got 5 hearts, the most out of any of the hearts.
Because it's the only thing that stops him from dying every game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's like... Also, I'd rather just play like leader... Like if I'm... Obviously if I'm not playing leadership, she gets better. But if I'm playing like leadership or like protection... Even Justice, I'd rather just play a cheaper, like Coulson. Yes. I'd rather play Coulson, Quake, Clea, any of the two costs from except for Wonder Man, and it's just better to
tech.
Me.
All right, I think we should
use the Avengers Tower, and she's an Avenger. You can replay.
Just go on to the next card, I think.
Yeah, probably.
All right, let's go.
Carlos is not. He's all right, so we're skipping Carlos. So I believe it's Matt. Would you like to read sorry, I had to.
Yeah. All right, I've got the Sonic Arrow. It's a 2-cost event with arrow and the attack trait and a mental resource. Hero action, attack. Exhaust Hawkeye's bow. Confuse an enemy and deal 3 damage to it. Fires damage instead if the enemy is already confused. And the flavor text.
Okay.
And yeah, this is like confusion is always at a premium, and this is just really nice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, again, it's like the balanced version of Doctor Strange, confusing.
Yeah.
And I like that it's confuse an enemy, and like even though that's why would you confuse anyone but the villain, but it is confusing enemy. If we get if Ronin's out.
Yeah, confusing Ronin.
Like,
the
villain
the
is like
alter ego.
Like if I'm playing against Rhino and I have Ronin out, I think I'd rather just confuse Ronin. Majority of the time. I don't know. I mean, like obviously it's good card. Do you ever play it if an enemy is already confused?
If I have no other arrow, then yes. But yeah, it's like. Yeah, I like that it has the option. So, like, a lot of times in multiplayer games, the enemy will be stunned and confused, oftentimes. And extra stuns and confuses don't do anything. This at least is the option of doing extra damage if they're already confused.
I feel like it could go up to maybe 6, just because, like, you're getting exhaustion and it's...
5 damage is, like,
it's
good,
better than a big hand.
It's not great.
Yeah,
I mean it's equal.
It'd be, more than one big hands
at this point.
This car
right?
is better.
At this point, like assuming they're already confused, at this point it just becomes a venom blast.
A venom blast that you have to exhaust the bow for.
Yeah.
Right. Well, if this is your only choice of arrow for the turn, then does that matter?
Right. Yeah. I guess. I don't know. I just think it could have been 6.
And if it's on the quiver, that really doesn't matter.
That's true.
So.
But you could just save it for next turn.
Right, like,
but yeah, I don't know. They're it's interesting. I like that it has the option. I don't know how often I use it.
This arrow
has the option,
and I believe it's the electric arrow. Really make press the advantage so good in Hawkeye, because the ability to just confuse an enemy and then just press the advantage that enemy. So it's probably gonna be the villain. and then draw a card from that. It's so good.
So how many likes do you guys think this got?
All of them. All of the likes.
Nine likes, three hearts, and two laughing faces.
What? The E.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Right. Sorry about that, listeners. I can be loud.
Since we skipped you, Carlos, would you like to read Explosive Arrow?
Ooh, I like this one. Explosive Arrow, hero action, exhaust Hawkeye bow, and choose a player. Deal 3 damage to the villain, and each minion engage to that player. This is a good card. It has a physical resource, and has anyone ever told you how your eyes sparkle when you're angry?
Yes, all the time.
Yeah, that's actually the number one thing people tell me. That's the first thing they say to me.
I like how your eyes sparkle while you're watching an arrow explode.
Yeah,
this is really good against Mutagen formula.
It's just good.
Yeah. I mean, even if there's, you don't even have to hit a minion. 2 for 3 damage is solid. And if you get even another minion, it's a 2-cost cheaper melee.
Right, and not only that, but like this gets around stun. This gets around guard.
And retaliate.
Right, and retaliate. It's because it's not an attack.
I didn't realize that it's not an attack, so today I use it to get rid of a stun. So.
How dare you? And that's like, not a asterisk on your game.
If you have the expert marksman, that just it lets you generate a resource for an arrow event. If you have that out, this is on the quiver, it's really just a free 3 damage to each minion engaged with a player and the villain. And like, this card is so good. I feel like every time I see it, I'm never sad to see this card, because even if it's just 1 for 3, assuming you know, quiver or X-Men marksman, it's just so good. I love this one.
This is one of those cards that I would exhaust myself. I could see myself exhausting to ready my bow so I could play another one of these, because that it's just very, very good if you have any number of minions in play.
Yeah, Thor wishes he had this.
Lightning Strike can be better, but usually isn't.
This is very efficient and quick.
Yes.
Shall we move on?
Yes. How many lights?
All of them. All of them lights.
9.
12 with 2 hearts.
Cool. The hearts are really throwing off the like ratio.
Yeah. Should I count them as part of the likes?
I think you should just count them as likes.
Well, at that point, we know they have all likes. But, all right. Ben, you're on the Electric Arrow.
Electric Arrow is a 2-cost event. Arrow and attack traits. Hero action attack. Exhaust Hawkeye's bow to stun an enemy and deal 3 damage to it. 5 damage instead if it is already stunned. And it has an energy resource, which is appropriate for Electric Arrow. And it has the flavor text, Hail Hawkeye, Clintburn. Mm-hmm. And people are mad about that, apparently. Why? For reasons I don't understand, because I don't read the comics.
Because in the comics, it's used for the Cable Arrow.
I think that was like the Boomerang Arrow or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't actually.
I don't know. I kind of like it for this one better, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, he's shooting a Hydra dude. But, I mean, yeah, it's the counterpart to the Confused one, except I think the Confused one is slightly better because Confused is just, you know.
Better. I mean, on the other hand, Stun means you can stay in hero, is more for staying in hero mode. And
yeah.
In Hawkeye, I think that this is better because Hawkeye doesn't have any incentives to flip the alter ego other than to recover. Either his bow back or, yeah, to recover or, like, draw an extra card, I guess. But, like, I'm saying, if you stun the villain, you don't need to recover. So, you're probably going to save more 3 damage.
The difference between that is if you confuse him and flip the alter ego and draw advanced, it's just surge instead of you getting attacked. If you draw advanced while you're in hero form, you're still going to get attacked. But, like, either way, I mean, stunning fuse both help you breathe from the villain. And again, press the advantage. Really, really good with this. But, and like, I feel like this is the stun is going to happen more, like, the villain's going to be stunned more often. that I might use the 5 on this more than I will on the other one.
In multiplayer, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, like, what? Because we have, like, Iron Fist now, Tackle, like...
Uh-huh.
Oh, there's just a bunch.
Heroic Strikes. Yeah, there's more stun than confuse, generally. It's easier to stun than to confuse right now.
Yeah, but same as the previous arrows. There's not much to say other than it's just, you know, good. Bad balanced version of Doctor Strange. So I will read the Cable arrow, which is a one cost event with the physical.
There icon. Were I'll just get to, there was 14 likes, and let's just say for all the rest of the Hawkeye cards, they all got 14 likes and hearts together.
Okay.
Amazing.
This is the Cable arrow. Again, one cost event with a physical arrow thwart. Hero action thwart. Exhaust the bow to remove 3 threat from a scheme, ignoring any crisis icons in play. How many times do you think that's actually going to matter? Besides, like, I mean, like, I feel like if there's a crisis scheme in play, I want to get rid of that one first anyway.
Yeah, and, like, for only 3, like, I wish this was 4, like, especially because he's weakening it. Because, like, if you really need to avoid a crisis icon, like, it captures ranged really nicely, I think, but... I don't know if 3 is going to really save me if I really need to stop or get past a crisis.
I feel like in solo, this is how I get rid of the crisis icon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think a little bit. I'm not saying you guys are wrong. I just think that it's an ability. First of all, 1 for 3 is all right. Not bad.
That's very good.
And second of all, it's an ability that when it matters a lot, particularly in solo. I feel like this is only going to matter in solo. When you, like, so Hawkeye is kind of a glass cannon, and you're trying to finish as soon as possible. This gives you leeway to not have to deal with that crisis icon, save yourself one more turn when you can kill the villain. If you couldn't do that, then you would have to thwart the crisis icon and then spend even more resources to try and keep yourself alive. So I really like this ability for Hawkeye, even though it's only gonna matter in 1 of 10 games you play. It's going to be the thing that makes you win.
Oh, I agree.
I've done it before. The Hydra Patrol side scheme is a crisis that has a bad effect when you defeat it. So you might want. You might play this like in like a 2-player game to buy yourself time so that whoever's thwarting can thwart that later.
Yeah, I feel like just you said, when this matters, it matters. I definitely agree. Or when it matters, it's good. I feel like early on in the game, when you really still like in that mid game kind of stage, or even like early to mid game, I feel like this really is just gonna be how I get rid of that crisis icon. But late game, it's gonna be like, here's how I buy myself a turn.
I don't think that writer is that important generally. I think that mostly it's just like a 1 for 3.
I do like
very good.
I do like that the option is there. I think that's really. I mean, this is the first time we've seen that ability, and I like that option is there. I don't know how impactful the option is.
I don't think it's that important to evaluating the card, but it's one cause like. You're paying this card and a resource to remove 3 threat. Yeah. I guess you're exhausting the bow. That's really strong.
Yeah. Well, to move on to the next one, Carlos, we're back to you with the Vibranium Arrow.
2-costed Vibranium Armor Event Arrow Attack. Hero action attack. Exhaust Hawkeye's bow, deal 6 damage to an enemy. This card gains piercing. Now this, I thought it wasn't that good, and I realized with the new campaign, it's amazing.
Yep.
Same. Yeah. It's so good.
It definitely getting a lot of tough tokens in this campaign.
Yes.
So especially those bio mutates in Zola that everyone starts with that have toughness. Oh my god, they're so damn annoying. And then you just
there are a couple really important targets for this in the campaign, especially later on.
I mean, just going off damage, this is a 2-for-1 damage, so it's pretty...
Yeah.
It's basically just one less than Swing Web Pick. You can maybe go up to 7 damage if you count the tough.
Yeah, it's got upside. It's good against... good against...
And like, with Kang coming out this first turn, just getting rid of that tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's good against Garen, good against Rhino.
Yeah, I mean, depending on what you're doing, in the game where the top might be more than one damage. It could be worth like two or maybe even three.
Yeah, I'd play this against Claws Armored Guards all day, every day. I mean, that's probably usually worth it.
That's just something very important when it comes to the villain toughness. It's just how piercing works. Like, at first, you would think that it, you know, you hear piercing, oh, probably ignore stuff. No, it discards it, which means it's an effect that matters for everybody else. So it's just like you're always wasting resources getting rid of that top, and this card's like, well, let's get rid of it, and then let's just do things. And that's always going to be great.
I feel like
very good damage event.
I feel like if heroes couldn't become tough, piercing would just ignore the card. But because this can go, a piercing can be on an enemy, that's the reason why it discards.
If piercing just went through tough, it'd be a lot worse.
Yeah, but I'm saying if that would, I feel like that would only happen if the villains couldn't get piercing.
Whatever.
That's just all right. Weird speculation.
I think
we should move on. What do you got? That art, though. What the hell is... I know that's, like, in the bow. That's the sights. But first of all, his head is way far back from that bow. I don't... Is that...
What? It seems about right. You're not supposed to look that close to
it. That looks like an eyeball. It
doesn't... Oh, so, yeah, the scope, yeah. I don't see the point.
It's just an angry eyeball. It's really bothering me.
Yeah, the scope is like...
I don't see it. I like that art. It's a nice art. It's one of the nicer ones.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Hawkeye part of it. Just that stupid eyeball thing. But, Matt, I believe you're on the next card.
Expert Marksman, a one-cost upgrade with the skill trait and a wild resource. A resource exhaust Expert Marksman, generate a wild resource for an arrow event. This is, it's the cheapest resource generator we've had for a hero yet. You get two of these, but it's much more restricted.
Except it works on a fourth of your deck, so.
Yeah, it's basically Black Widow's Gauntlets, but for arrows.
Except they don't think they're ever printing another arrow.
That's the
drawback. But that's why it's one cheaper.
But, no, it's the same cost.
As the Gauntlets.
No, the Gauntlets one, oh yeah.
Gauntlets the cost one, yeah.
Huh.
This is something that I don't know. Like, I feel I've only played Hawkeye twice, and this being the last card in of Hawkeye set, it's a moment to have a reflection on him and why I'm sorry. Sorry about that. I have fun playing Hawkeye, but I feel he's too swingy because this card is just amazing when it is amazing. But it's just like so useless when it is useless. And in Black Widow, you put so many more preparations. You have ways to get your preparations back. You have Coulson, you have her alter ego support. And you kind of like, you're always sure that, even then, you don't always use the gauntlets. And I feel like there's just so many times with Hawkeye where you're just going to like sitting on this card and not doing anything with it. I mean, it happens with the other hero. You just going to have so much more with it.
I feel like because the quiver exists, this card gets a lot better.
Yeah.
Because like, if you have both of these out, all of your arrows then become on the quiver become spend nothing from your hand and have a free arrow every turn. If you have one of these out, two of the arrows become free. And then if you have both of these out, then all your arrows on the quiver are free. And that means you can still use whatever you want in your hand without having to worry about paying for the arrows. I think the fact that the arrows make up, if you're building a 40-card deck, a fourth of your deck really helps this card. But I do agree that I feel like there's a lot of turns where I'm not using it. But I think it's worth it to play. I feel like it's one of those cards that's definitely worth it to have. I don't understand. Like, I get... Why does it generate a wild resource? None of the arrows care about
that. Why not?
Well, yeah, but like none of the arrows care about that.
What resource would you rather generate?
I don't know. The general.
I feel like Michael.
I mean, it doesn't really matter, but I'm just like, what?
Because why not? What's the point of generating?
I know, but like,
whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I think overall, Hawkeye. Oh, I love Hawkeye. I think my thing about Hawkeye as a hero is I found him to be the best minion controller, hands down, of all like the aggression-esque heroes like Thor and Hulk and She-Hulk. I found him to be better than all three of them, and that's mainly because he has a 5-hand size in hero form. And then, you know, the quivers makes him more consistent, and the fact that it's a fourth of his deck is damage. Well, minus the cable, but he just has so much in his kit. He has way more damage than any other hero.
I wonder how he's like. I've not played him in multiplayer, and I wonder if he's going to be more impactful and interesting there. I feel that quiver searching 5, it's not that great, and the possibility of whiffing. Especially at some points in the game where you already gone through a lot of your deck, you've gone through a lot of your arrows, or at the start of it where you you've seen a couple arrows, but you still have a lot of your deck goes through. And if you whiff, it just feels, at least in solo, when you need to keep up that momentum, it just feels so bad. So I worry for Hawkeye as a solo hero. And I'm interested to see how he's going to play out.
Well, it's not a solo game, though. So
you're not going to whip very often.
And even like, if you do, you still get to look at the top 5 cards of your deck and know what your next turn's going to be. I mean, if you're one of those diehards or tryhards that like analyzes those 5 cards, be like, all right, what am I doing next turn? What do I have to do this turn? Like, if you're like super gamey, then that's really important, even if you whiff. And, like, most of the time you're not going to unless, like, you draw it late game or, like, late through your deck. I shouldn't say late game. Where there's you've already went through most of your arrows. But at that point, you're about to reshuffle anyway. And once you reshuffle, then you got a plethora in there, especially if you thin your deck down a little bit. And
I will say, so on your point of whiffing, you have a 80% chance to find at least an 80% chance to find an arrow in 5 cards. So you're not whiffing very often.
Yeah, I feel like
if you're
he's definitely soloable, but he needs help with the aspect. Like, with the, I mean, obviously, with, like, his thwarting ability, you're probably going to want justice or leadership. Leadership's probably better because of his squishiness, but he's so good when it comes to multiplayer because he really just efficiently can do whatever you need him to,
as long as what you need him to do is damage.
Yeah, and like, again, he has the most damage in any hero's kit, like that, outright.
Like, he has great damage. He
wipes boards. He's so good.
Does do damage. That is true. I will give you that much.
All right. Shall we move on to our leadership cards?
Which, sure. Ben, you have the first ally.
Ooh. Hawkeye. Kate Bishop. Is a 2-cost ally with 1 thwart, 2 attack, and 2 hit points. And she has a 1 consequential and thwart and attack. She's an Avenger trait. Action. Discard this ally and discard 1 card from your hand.
Exhaust this ally.
Oh, exhaust. Actually,
I'm playing that wrong.
Discard? Oh my god. Yes. Okay. So, action. Exhaust this ally and discard 1 card from your hand to deal X damage to an enemy where X is the number of printed resources on that card. And has a physical resource. She has a physical resource. 2-cost Avengers ally and leadership. That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that, especially in, this card is so good in Hulk, because whatever card you did, like, not using, you just throw away for a damage. Like, in most heroes, a lot of the time, if you have extra cards, if you're just gonna pitch them anyway, just throw them to her.
Yeah.
The only hero I have not enjoyed her in right now is Captain America, just because of those extra cards I'm throwing away to my ability.
I've been playing her in My Captain Marvel leadership deck, I've been running through heroic, all the scenarios in heroic with that leadership deck, and she's been really good. Two attack for two costs, and then a chump block if you need it is really good, and also the ability. Like, she can do 3 damage in Captain Marvel if you really need her to.
We have a Facebook comment here suggesting using her in Hulk, because he often will have a spare card, and often even like an extra resource that you can't really use efficiently that turn will just turn it into raw damage.
Yeah, there's been turns I played Unstoppable Force and drew what's that one card? The
resource?
Yeah, Boundless or something Rage. I don't remember. I don't play Hulk. Hulk's bad. I don't play him. That one, the 3 resource card. And then, like, if you flip to Banner or something, if you flip to Banner, you can't use that resource. Just throw this to her. I love that. I like that it's an action and not a
It's a nice option to have, even if you don't use it very often. Also, she can ping off tough by just discarding any card from your hand.
Oh, that's a good one.
Useful thing to have in your pocket.
She's definitely pretty solid. I just...
Her action isn't that great, but her stats are pretty efficient.
Yeah.
I guess clarification for anyone, yes, you can play her with Clint Barton Hawkeye, because they have different secret identities.
Yes.
So now we got 9 cards here. 7 of them have sad faces. Do we think this is one, and how many do you think you got?
I think she has a sad...
She definitely has like 3.
She has 2.
Ah, that's close.
Yeah. Well, so moving on to the next card, I have Black Knight, who's Dane Whitman.
Yes.
3 cost ally with 1 thwart, 2 attack, both with a consequential, and 3 hit points. He's an Avenger, and his basic attacks gain piercing, and he has a physical resource. When I first saw this card, I was like, it's okay. I mean, it's another Avenger, so like, that's good. He's in my Captain America deck right now, and like, I feel like piercing is one of those abilities that's like, when it's important, it's great. And when it's not, it's like, fine. But he's like doing anything other than that. But like,
I mean, I think it's worth noting he's the only Avenger for 3 cost with 3 health and 2 attack. Like, all the other, like Hawkeye is 1 attack.
2 attack is pretty good. That's
definitely. He's basically a vision with 1 less cost.
Yeah. And you can you're gonna be able to use it multiple times. So again, like, he can be great against Solar. He can be great against any sort of scenario. If we get more like in the future scenarios that consistently get tough, he might be really good. It's 3 times that you're getting rid of tough.
Yeah, I feel like. So like, I feel like now when I get Ant-Man, I think Hank Pym is gonna replace him for me. Just because of Hank Pym's flexibility. But, like, he's not bad. I just... There's not enough tough right now, I think, to make him phenomenal. But, he's good. He's a 3-cost Avenger with 2 attack. And he can occasionally use piercing. So, he's good.
If I'm building an Avengers Assemble deck, I feel like I want this just to, like, ram through a bunch of damage.
Yeah, agreed.
I think... This is a topic for a different time, but I think Lead from the Front is better. Than Avengers Assemble.
All right.
But that's
all right. So, how many sad faces do you think this guy got?
2. 4.
The answer is 3, and one of them is Sam.
Oh, Sam, how dare you?
That's because when I did the reviews, I didn't play him yet. And I was like, I don't really care for this. And then I played him, and I was like, yeah, he's got 2 attack. You know, he's fine. I like him now. It's just like, I don't know. I mean, like, again, he's so replaceable. The second I get an ally with, you know, similar stats that has either a better ability. Like, again, Hank Pym, I could pay 3 to have 2 thwart and 2 attack with 3 hit points, but just lose the piercing. I don't know. I feel like he's just easily replaceable.
Yeah.
But moving on to the next card, Carlos, would you like to read our next ally?
4 cost ally, Goliath. Thwart, 1 attack with a double consequential damage. Avenger, 4 life total. Action. Goliath gets plus 4 attack until the end of the phase. At the end of the phase, discard Goliath. Max 1 per phase.
Who's Goliath? Is he the guy that showed up in Ant-Man and the Wasp movie?
Yes.
Okay.
He is that guy. Basically, the original Goliath was Hank Pym, who he was Giant Man, and then he got stuck being like 9 feet tall for a while, and he went by Goliath. And then he eventually passed it off to Bill, who he grows. And I love the flavor text here. Sometimes being a gentleman means holding the door and the rest of the building.
This card is so fun with Sky Cycle. Just having a turn where you just Sky Cycle attack for 10. But also, if you just want to use his thwart for 3 turns and then boost him up and attack for 5, that's 6 thwart with 5 damage for 4. That's not bad.
2 thwart and 4 hit points. That's already about worth 4 cost.
Plus, if you have, Avengers Assemble? If you activate him, obviously you wouldn't play him the same turn. You activate Assemble. Him, use him, Avengers Assemble, and now he's attacking for, that's 11 that turn?
Yeah.
That's 12. Enough in solo to almost wipe out a villain.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good.
There's one small note. In the art, that's not actually Bill Foster. That's his that's his nephew, I think, Tom Foster.
Or Tim or something.
Which is kind of embarrassing.
Somebody screwed up on the art.
There's a little bit of screw ups, but I don't want to talk about that.
I would have never known that. There's like quite a few missed things in the box, but
In the comics, like the biggest thing, he's the guy who died in Civil War.
Bill Foster?
Him.
Or his nephew?
Him. His nephew became Goliath after he died in Civil War.
So he was the one that died in Civil War.
Yeah.
Read the novelization of Civil War, not the actual comic version of it.
We should run away. He's like, no, I'm not going to run away. He grows big and then he gets a hole shot in his chest.
That sounds familiar. Wasn't there also a clone of Thor in there somewhere too?
That was the clone who blew him his chest in.
Yeah. Okay, I remember that now.
After that, they call him. Well, some called him Clor. Other people eventually settled on Ragnarok.
Yeah,
I think he's probably dead.
Wasn't he just a Skrull? I thought it was a Skrull.
No,
they cloned Thor, because that's in I know obviously different game, Marvel Legendary, in the Heroes of Asgard expansion or whatever. One of the masterminds in that was Ragnarok, and it was the Thor clone.
I know that.
Do you guys think Goliath is how would you rank him against the other 4 cost allies? Falcon, Vision.
I think below Falcon, but he's pretty solid. I really like how they've created a hero where you are incentivized not necessarily to block with him. It's the right choice to just attack out with him.
It's deck dependent, I think. If you're playing Rapid Response, I think, they're both pretty good with the Rapid Response.
Well, does he... Okay, that actually brings up a rules question. Yes, if you use him and attack him, if you use his ability and Rapid Response him, does he still go away?
Yes. Yes, he goes away.
He'll come back with 1 damage, and he will not have the attack boost because that was a different Goliath. And you can't use the ability again that turn because it's max.
Will he go away after the end of...
That was a different Goliath.
Yeah, with his ability, if he goes away with his ability, you can't Rapid Response him back. If he dies the consequential damage or something, then you can bring him back, but he won't get the attack boost, and you can't use it again.
I feel like he's solid for the deck we're seeing, the Voltron allies, because obviously Sky Cycle with him is amazing.
He didn't quite seem, because I feel like Get Ready is better there. He's not really a Voltron ally.
Yeah, if you get ready him, he's good in that deck. If you're already playing get readies and stuff for your other allies,
he's certainly a unique.
Sky Cycle an inspiring presence in the deck I'm running with him. But I threw him, I originally had Falcon, and I threw him in because I was like, oh, I can have a turn where I use five attack for 10 with Goliath. That seems pretty awesome.
He's probably better in that deck than Falcon is.
Which is all right.
How many sad faces do you think, keeping in mind we still have two cards left that haven't received any sad faces?
I think he got one.
Zero.
Yeah. Why do you think he got one, Ben?
Well, I said zero.
No. Yeah. No, Sam, sorry.
Sorry, he's just exposing my real name. because I gave him it, didn't I?
Yes, there was two sad faces, one of which was Sam.
Why did I give him that? I don't understand. I like this card.
You were very grumpy when you raided this pack.
I really did.
All right, next card.
I think I meant to do it for this card. I believe this is Matt.
Yep. 3 cost, U.S. agent, a.k.a. John Walker. He is 1 thwart and 1 attack with 1 consequential. 5 HP, which is pretty whopping. The adventure trait and a mental resource. And he has retaliate 1.
Before we discuss him, isn't he like a villain?
No, he basically was he was upset because the president was secretly a fascist or something. And then, so he quit being Cap, and so they decided to make their own on-brand Cap, who was John Walker here. And then that he also realized the government was kind of up to shady stuff and went rogue and became U.S. agent.
Yeah, if you guys know about the Disney show Falcon and the Winter Soldier, supposedly this was just in, I think it was in the teaser for it, people are guessing that he's going to be, that the government's going to want him to be the next Captain America, but Cap obviously gave the shield to Falcon.
Yeah.
So if you guys are followers of the MCU and the Disney shows, then you might see him very soon.
Yeah, if you look carefully, you'll notice shield is different than Cap's. It doesn't have the star either.
Yeah, and it looks like a darker blue. Oh my god, he has a shiny head.
It's black. That's a helmet, I believe. But yeah, okay, so the card, Retaliate 1s. I view this more as a anti-minion thing. Like, it could block minion attacks and then kill them. Like, Ultron, this will be great against Ultron.
Yeah.
Who's
the bad guy in, like, the first... Not Killjoy, the other bad guy in the first season of Jessica Jones. Who also, like, takes some pills and is, like...
That's Nuke, who is also a Kappa XP.
Okay, yeah, that's the guy who I was thinking when I was thinking he was agent. I was confusing him.
You can tell the difference because that guy doesn't have the flag on his chest. He painted it on his face.
I feel like this is the worst ally in the pack. Like, pretty easily. I feel like, obviously, like, the Ultron thing is okay, but, like, at the same time...
This is a minion blocker, in my opinion. Like there's all those times like where there's a minion sticking around and he's pinging you for some damage and you can't really block it. This blocks it and you still get to... He basically still attacks.
I don't know.
And that's 5 HP.
So, if he's okay. Inspired on this guy, then he's like a 2-2, 5.
Why would you put Inspired? Because then he's going
to
exhaust.
Because he has 5 HP. You don't need to... Don't use Retaliate. You just attack. 5 HP is 5 HP. Yeah. And it raises chance you can Avengers Assemble with him.
Yeah.
He's an Avenger. Like, I think he has some limited use in an Avengers deck.
I threw him in my Avengers, my Captain Marvel Avengers deck.
Yeah, he's not in my current Avengers deck. I use Black Knight instead.
Yeah.
So how many sad faces do we think he got?
Oh, I definitely gave him one. I can tell you that right now. 10.
No.
Anyone else?
5.
Okay. Oh. Ben was Sam was the only one to give him a sad face. He got 2 hearts and 10 likes.
He's a Voltron ally, you know, and the
grumpiest.
5 health is a lot. You can do a lot of things with him and you're only gonna be able to do more. So I kinda get people.
He's kind of just boring, you know? All these allies we're seeing are like, I mean, other than Black Knight's kind of boring too, but at least Piercing is kind of cool. These allies are interesting, and then U.S. Agent is just so boring.
He's like a blank state for a Voltron.
Like, I'd rather have him, like, I don't know.
I think it's interesting. Leadership has the weakest allies generally, just because I guess because it can support it more. But like, if you look at like aggression or justice, they've got really good allies.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he's like okay, yes. But like, he's. I don't think he's. He's another again replaceable. I think he's very replaceable. And that's why I don't. Yes, he's like. I mean, a second we get Ant-Man, I'm sure that with Ant-Man we're gonna get a couple of good new allies, and I'm pretty sure I'm just gonna be like, buy U.S. Agent because like, he's fine.
Imagine building an ally Voltron deck with Iron Man. Isn't he like a good second option?
Mm-hmm. I think so. All right. Speaking of Voltron, here's the Sky Cycle.
That's
Sam. I believe you.
Oh yeah, I'll read Sky Cycle. Oh my god, this art is so blue. it's a one cost upgrade with the vehicle trait. That's cool. Attach to an Avenger ally, max one per ally. Attach ally gains aerial and has action, exhaust Sky Cycle, ready attached ally, and it has an energy resource.
So yeah, this is a full trunker.
You can give someone, you can get ready someone every turn of the game, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is really good with if you have what's that card called?
No.
Together from the front.
Inspired
work.
No, I was thinking of Earth's Mightiest Heroes. That a card for a free ready for your hero, and then use this.
Also. It's really hilarious on Black Cat if you give her Avenger first.
Definitely. This card is so amazing on Black Cat.
Strength and numbers, that's the card I was thinking of. That's also good.
Yeah, it's, you have to honorary Avenger her first, but that's worth it.
Like interesting. That's going to be an interesting deck, like Tron, Ally, Spider-Man, and you can play Black Cat, Iron Man, US Agent, Vision. And just like...
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that deck is, but it is a deck that you can play.
Yeah, that's totally worth it, I think.
Yeah, I feel like this card, like, outside of maybe Voltron, this card's kind of bad.
If you want, you either need healing or exhaust effects on allies.
Yeah, like, I feel like it's not worth it.
I wouldn't say it's bad because, you know, in a multiplayer game, let's say you put this on a Sentinel. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's 6 damage a turn for a couple turns.
I think I'd want maybe 2 or 3, like definitely at least 2 uses, maybe 3 uses, and it'd be worth it over a get ready, in my opinion.
I guess my point is just like, well, yeah, exactly. Get ready is a 0-cost card, and this is a 1-cost card. I get it's an upgrade, but like if I'm just trying, unless the ally has more than 3 health, this card is not worth it to me. You're going for that Voltron build. I mean, once we get that, what's that card in Ant-Man's deck? The wings?
Yeah.
The suit? The reinforced suit or whatever?
Yeah. It'll be good in Iron Man, just because, like, it's a 0-cost upgrade for Iron Man. Yeah,
definitely. And, like, Iron Man with the hit point booster and Inspired, he's just going to be a tank. And, like, obviously Inspiring Presence, too. If you have Goliath, Sky Cycle's great with an Inspiring Presence. It's just great.
I go and build that, like the Spider-Man Voltron allies, and they're going to be Iron Man, US Agent, and Black Cat.
Plus, I think with this next card that I'm going to read, that card definitely gets a little better. How many sad faces
do you think?
I don't know.
Maybe and one. More importantly, do we think Sam gave it a sad face?
Wait, probably. No, there's sad faces. Yes, there's a sad faces on this one. Okay.
There are 3 sad faces, and Sam was not one of them.
Oh, yeah, because I was thinking of Iron Man. That's why. I like Iron Man. Yeah, this next card, which will make the Sky Cycle a little better,
sad faces.
Is Team Training, which is a 2-cost support with a physical icon and condition treated. Play under any player's control. That's really important. Max 1 per player. Each ally you control gets +1 hit point. Yeah,
this is fantastic. Good.
This is amazing. Like,
this card is better than it looks, and it already looks good.
It's so good. Like, literally just... It's so good. Like, I mean, imagine you're playing Spider-Woman and you have this out with Captain Marvel. That's one extra card you get to draw. And you can put this under any player's control. Like, if you even if you put three in your deck, you can still give them to other players because you know that people are going to run allies. Like, that's a given.
And it's usually good to get plus one hit point.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's like two attack or two thwart usually.
Right. Yeah. Like with Daredevil. That's another thwart with a damage.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? This is just amazing.
It does everything you want it to. And, like, I don't understand. And, like, the only thing is that I, if it's because it's a support, it's vulnerable to Flame Trooper. Oh, it always hits me. Every single time I play this, I get a damn Flame Trooper as my boost card.
Why don't you block, bro?
Yeah, it's just a straightforward. Good. So, do we think it got sad faces?
No.
No. This is probably the best card in the box.
You're right. It got 13 likes and hearts, but it also got the wow. Yeah, rightfully earned, I say, because this is easily the best in the pack.
Yeah.
With a Boggs meme, leadership needs an edge.
It's the edge.
I will say I like that it promotes a different style of play than just chump blocking all your allies all day, every day.
Yeah, this is not for your rapid response build.
Yeah, no, now you wait a turn deck. And then you chump block.
I feel like it goes in a different deck than rapid response.
I just hope leadership players play more than one copy so they can give it to me in my aggression decks.
Dude, bro, I'm running at least two in all of my leadership decks.
This is gonna be fun. Like everyone's talked about that deck where we just stack 12 honorary Avengers on She-Hulk, and now you're team training too. You're just the extra hit point. Like
honorary Avenger needs an errata real quick. It's just absurd.
It should be one per character.
Yeah,
agree.
Like, it just seems so straightforward to me.
Yeah. Well, Carlos, would you like to read the next card?
Oh, I like this art. I like this card. One event, ready for action. Spider-Woman looking really cool there. Hero action. The tactic. Hero action. Give an ally you control a tough status card. Try that again. I dare you, says Jessica Drew. This is a cool card. It sucks that it's an ally you control. That's my only issue with this card. But it's basically, it's a cheap way to give yourself tough in a lot of situations.
Synergizes really well with US Agent, if you care. You can actually tally that. It's nice. It's a good card if you want to block with allies, but you don't want them to die.
So here's what I said earlier, and like I feel like this deck that I've after been thinking about it, I can kind of guess where I would put this deck, but in a lot of my leadership decks, majority of the times, instead of playing this, I'd rather just play, you know, another ally. But now that we've been talking about this Voltron deck, a lot of the times you don't have room for more allies, and you're gonna want to play this to get those blocks in. But I feel like if you're just running your not even just rapid response, but maybe like regular kind of leadership kind of build, I feel like it's not that great because I'd rather just play another ally. But considering now that we have a different way to play around with allies, it's better.
And you can also use it as a bad first aid if you need to.
Not even, more like a bad backflip.
No, I'm saying like you play on ally, then use it one more time.
Don't do that.
That's what I said. Bad first aid. Come on.
All right. How many sad faces?
I probably get
one from Sam.
I definitely get one.
It has the most in the pack with four sad faces. One from Sam, and the fourth one is from our absent friend John.
Really?
Sad this card.
The reason why is just because it's like a lot of the times I'd rather just play another ally. But now that I have time to like think about it, I can see some of its uses. But still, like, why I'd rather just play just another ally? I don't know. Like, it's fine. No. It's not bad. Like, I think it's like this it's good, but it's like not. It's not something I want to. I don't really want to use deck space on this when I could just, you know, put in another ally. I don't know.
All right. I'm next up with our next card. War Machine. He's a 4-cost ally, James Rhodes. He's got 2 floor and 2 attack with 1 consequential, 3 HP, the Avenger and the Shield trait. He has toughness. And then his basic attacks gain ranged with a mental resource. I mean, this is just solid. It's a 4 cost for 4 health and 2 in each stat. That's already pretty on curve. Like, if you count the toughness as a health, but you can also block with it.
Yeah, better than health. Really good. It's also, ignores retaliate is relevant if you want to have a Voltron ally to fight, like, villains that can gain retaliate.
Yeah. Plus, you know, Avengers. So, Avengers Tower.
So, 2 Thwart is good.
Yeah. 2 Thwart in neutral is, or in basic is good.
Yeah. Like, this is definitely going to be one ally I would consider in a lot of decks outside of leadership because 2 Thwart is not something to look past. All right. On to our next new card, Avengers Tower.
Oh, wait. Missing. Do we think about Fat Face? And how many?
I think it's got all likes.
No, it's got one sad face. From, I don't know.
Nope, everybody loves Jim. There are no sad faces here.
Okay, wow. Yeah.
Not even Sam and his ally hating heart.
I love Wong. He's so good. Also, we have a new version of Avengers Tower we should read. It's missing the Avengers trait. But I mean, I understand how it happens because I'm pretty sure they like it. Just it happens. People are giving them way too much shit for this stuff, but like it's gonna happen early on in a game where there aren't as many people to catch on to it. But
I mean, wouldn't they just reprint the same card?
Well, I don't think that's I don't really, obviously don't know how they do this stuff, but they said, I believe they said in an interview before that they put in the cards manually, and if they put in the cards manually, maybe they sometimes stuff like this, accidentally just miss it, and, whatever.
That seems bizarre to me. I feel like you just take the image file and copy it right over.
I think it depends on how... I mean, also, I think that it could have just, because I assume you don't play test with images. I feel like that does not done until after that stuff's done. So maybe they just a text box and,
I mean, that's how they do it in Magic and most, most playtesting games, it's very bare bones.
Well, this is also, that's also Magic and Wizards, which, I mean, do they actually play test? Because
they pay their playtesters.
Well, I know, but some of the stuff they're printing.
How dare you?
They write on paper, and that's their playtest.
I feel like they mentioned somewhere before that they put it in manually, and if you put it in manually, it just kind of happens sometimes. And it's okay. Obviously,
I feel like we're talking too long about this.
Right.
It's just kind of funny.
Yeah. I know why. It's because spoilers for the campaign. Cover your ears. It's because Hydra takes the tower.
No. Also, people were asking if this is errata because in Lord of the Rings they did reprint cards with errata without telling anybody.
Well, that's because it's because it takes them so long to get the FAQ out because, you know, Caleb's not exactly
I know, I'm just saying.
He's pretty busy. People were
like, is this errata? I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's just a mistake.
No, it's just a mistake. It's got to be just a mistake. Why would it not have the Avengers trait? Does the mansion have the Avengers trait?
Think so.
Location of Avenger location. Yeah, it does.
Oh, it does? Okay, cool.
Yeah. But anyway, Ben, do you want to read the next card?
Okay, well, there we go. That's that. So, who's reading the last card?
You.
Okay, I'll read it. Okay. 0 event Earth minus heroes. Hero action. Exhaust an Avenger character you control. Ready another Avenger.
I saw a lot of people saying this would be good with Doctor Strange, But, like, I tried it with Doctor Strange, and I was not impressed. Because my cloak is just, you know, better.
Yeah,
I feel like you have the cloak, you just don't need it. But this card is so good.
What do you need in Doctor Strange? You need 25 blank cards, and it'll be fine. Yeah. This card, I think, is the most overrated card in the pack. Which is not to say it's bad, but I do think that people are just jamming it into every deck without really thinking about it. And I like readying Spider-Man to attack for two is probably not worth it.
No, but readying someone like if you have if you get an extra use out of Cap in a turn, you know.
Like readying Hawkeye if he has combat training. That's amazing.
Yeah, or like
or like if you have heroic intuition on you and you ready yourself to Thor for three as like anybody
who has it also depends on the ally exhausting. Once we get Stinger, this becomes so good with Stinger because Stinger doesn't counter your ally limit. So you can just keep using this with Stinger to ready your hero. And like assuming you have like upgrades on your heroes or something, that's pretty good.
Yeah, like, but yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you need to have, like, I don't think readying for two attack is usually worth it. And I don't think readying for two thwart is
maybe
sometimes, like, situationally worth it.
It's going to be solid in Ant-Man with the three defense and three attack.
Yeah, anyone with, like, three attack is probably worth doing.
I mean, like, I think it has a place in heroes like I already said Cap, but like because like he obviously has his Valiant Determination or whatever, the one that gives him an extra thwart, or like even just in general, just like if you have like let's say for Wonder Man for example, if you don't that you can just discard this to Wonder Man. Yep. I don't know, it's kind of weird because like it feels like it's good, but also it feels like it's like you said, overrated too.
Yes. Which is not to say it's bad. I don't want anyone to say I think it's bad. I think it's quite good in some heroes.
Oh, if you're playing decks. If you're playing Hawkeye and you have the Quiver and Hulk in play and you look at the top five and see a mental, you could use this on Hulk to just ready Hawkeye instead. Yeah, but like that's so niche and stupid. I don't know. I don't think that's good enough.
It's good with Ally Hulk. Ally Hulk is cheap, a cheap Avenger.
Yeah, I think it's worth it for in Hawkeye too, especially.
Yeah, agreed.
Spider-Woman. Spider-Woman too. I mean, you have more Avenger options.
It's a basic card which hurts her.
I feel like if you include a lot of the way I've been going with her is a lot of cheap cards, so I don't have to run the double resources and I just run the power ofs instead. If I put like all the two cost allies, leadership allies in there, and then like play, I don't know, aggression or something with the cheap allies and like press the advantages and stuff, I feel like I'd be fine running three of these or two of the, or even like one of these just to get an extra ready out of her. But it would also depend on how you build the deck.
Also, it's only Avengers characters.
So that would just not work with Murray Hill and that
deck. It's going to be harder to use out of like protection and justice. Right now,
yeah,
because they don't have as many Avengers allies, although it is pretty good with Brother Voodoo because he can find it and then use it, and that's like pretty good.
Yeah. I like it. I mean, like, it's not blowing me away, but it's pretty
good. No, I think it's very good in some decks. Yeah. I just don't think you just toss three of these into any deck and be like, oh, this is a good card, I'm gonna play it. No, you have to think about it, like, is this going to be worth it? Because, oftentimes it will be, but, sometime with a lot of decks I run, it won't be.
If you're playing Avengers Assemble, if you have a way to obviously pay for Avengers Assemble or something. Oh, you know who this would be good with? Quicksilver. If you can boost Quicksilver's stats up, Like, obviously, we don't know his whole kit, but if you can just keep boosting his stats up and then just spamming like this to.
Depends on how high you keep boost his stats.
I mean, like, you boost his stats to at least, like. I mean, let's say, like, you have. If you're playing leadership, you can play morale boost. You throw that down, and then maybe, like, Doctor Strange already played, like, a magical enhancements on you or something. Or maybe you have upgrades in your kit. I don't know what's in his kit.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It depends on how much you boost his stats.
But if you boost the stats and then you just keep spamming, like, readying for him and he can just clear everything, that's going to be really good.
I mean, you can do the same thing in any hero if you boost their stats. Depends. I mean, we can't really speculate on Quicksilver that much.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that is... Hawkeye.
It's a good card. This is the card I was thinking would have no sad faces because people.
It has one sad face.
Who gave it to? It wasn't me, right?
No, it wasn't you guys.
Okay.
Oh, it wasn't me. Dang. All right,
well,
I'm trying to remember if I gave any sad faces. I don't think the Hawkeye's cards.
That has been Hawkeye. Have you any of you guys actually played with the precon as it came?
No.
No.
I have. And just as the other ones, it's not... It's middle of the pack, I think, for as precons go, for those who care about it. I think Spider-Woman has a far superior precon. I think hers is honestly probably my favorite out of all of them.
I think Hawkeye's precon struggles with warding, so you would need... Probably want to have a partner that's good at warding.
Yeah.
Yeah, from my experience, yeah, you definitely... needs help with the forwarding unless you're playing Justice.
And I guess last thing, what are you guys' favorite aspects to pair with Hawkeye? And I'll start with my favorite so far has been protection, but protection not in the way that like I'm trying to defend, but in damage prevention / control. Energy barrier, defensive stance, preemptive strike. Just cards that stop me from taking damage, and then Clea, obviously, and Tackle, Iron Fist, like all the stuff that stops him from attacking or me taking damage, and then he just kind of, because it fixes his glass cannony aspect, and he kind of just do everything. But Carlos, what is your favorite Hawkeye aspect? Carlos?
Carlos is not.
Okay. He was taken by Crossfire. Ben, what's your favorite?
I haven't played that many aspects. I've only played protection and aggression. And I don't like the aggression deck I built, which I think is my fault more than Hawkeye's fault. And the protection deck, I was trying to do it solo, and I don't think that works.
Yeah, because mine was multiplayer.
And both prevent damage at the same time. Or at least I couldn't.
Yeah, mine was for multiplayer, it wasn't for solo.
Yes, I think in multiplayer it's fine. So I think it really depends. I think I would love to play him in aggression and multiplayer if I build a good deck, because I think I got some good ideas on that. But I think that would be the most fun way to play him, is multiplayer with aggression and just like go full glass cannon.
And Matt, what is your favorite aspect with Hawkeye?
I think aggression. I just like playing out Jarnbjorn, and it's like, hey, we gotta shoot the bow and then swing the axe somehow, because that makes sense.
Yeah, bro, that sounds great.
What about
why about training with skill strike and bam, kill him?
I haven't considered Justice with him until right now, but I'm just saying, like, if he has so much damage, wouldn't Justice balance him out?
Maybe for solo, but I mean, like, if you're playing multiplayer, aggression is a great way to just focus him into everything you need.
But you're assuming that the other player or players can handle everything else.
Yeah, I mean, like, Justice.
Which I have not played a game where that's true.
I feel like the problem I'm finding with Justice with a lot of the big attack heroes is I'm spending too much resources on playing the Justice cards to manage the threat that I'm not able to play a lot of my cards. And it kind of frustrates.
Interesting.
That kind of blocks the playstyle a little. Even though Justice would be a good pair.
I'm going to have to play Justice solo and come back to you, because I think that could be effective.
Yeah. But that is all we have time for tonight. So thank you for... Oh my god, I was about to read the patron thing again. Wow, that's how tired I am right now. Be sure to check out our social media. We have a Facebook, Discord, and Patreon where we post updates and connect with you, the listeners. We also have a YouTube channel with gameplay videos. Make sure to subscribe and like to keep up to date on the latest from Dexcelsior. Links to all these are in the description. Thank you for listening, and Ben, take us home.
Excelsior, onwards and upwards.